O God, take our minds and think through them, take our lips and speak through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen.
Amen.
A few years ago, I was in England during the celebration of the Queen's 60th Jubilee. It was quite a sight. It seemed the nation was just covered with Union Jack bunting, and store windows displayed any product you can imagine emblazoned with that distinctive double cross. I was fascinated by the outpouring of affection I saw for a woman that most of the people would never meet. As Americans, we have a strange relationship with royalty. Deeply embedded in our identity is that we bid good riddance to royalty and the abuses we experience from such a system. Nonetheless, many of us still look on with interest. Like many others, a few years ago I woke up at some ungodly hour to watch the royal wedding of my generation. But I must say that it's more out of intrigue rather than the affection that I witnessed that summer. It was one of those cultural phenomenons whose strength on others made me deeply aware that I really didn't understand. As I watched interviews and asked questions of those I met, I was repeatedly told that the royal family is fundamental to British identity. It holds them together as a people and is an essential part of what it means to be British. I thought of this when I thought about a sermon for today, Christ the King Sunday. I began to wonder if our American ambivalence to royalty affects how we understand this day. This feast day is actually one of the latest additions to the liturgical calendar. It was started in the 1920s by the Pope after the First World War to combat nationalism, to remind us all of the kingdom that we all belong to which our hearts must always belong more than any earthly allegiance. For so many others, like the British, it would be natural to assume that the king of this kingdom was a source of identity, but I think for us that's a little less clear. Perhaps the other common name, Reign of Christ Sunday, would make a little more sense to us, because it is important, perhaps especially for us today, to step back and be reminded of the kingdom to which we all belong, in which we are all made whole. Today, Christ the King Sunday, is the last day of our liturgical calendar. Next Sunday, we will begin Advent, when we begin to anticipate the coming of Jesus, both as a child who was born, but also as one who is coming again to make our broken world whole. On this last week of the liturgical year, we celebrate that we know the end of the story. We believe that Christ will come again, and that in that time, God will complete the work of restoring and renewing ourselves and our world. We celebrate that despite everything we see today to the contrary, Christ is King already. And we are called to be faithful witnesses like him and others before us to that truth. I don't know about you, but I desperately need to be reminded of this truth. Too often it seems that our daily struggles and work are pointless, a meaningless spinning of the wheels. We try to look beyond our lives, but when we look out, the view can still be bleak at times. For many of us, this past year has been a constant reminder of how deeply broken our world is. We are exhausted and numb from the constant barrage of news that tells us of the struggles of our world. And even while we enjoy the holidays, most of us were probably reminded in the past few days of the brokenness that exists even within our own families. Struggling to not bring up old wounds, but brushing up against the pain and struggles that we share with those closest to us anyway. And this pain and brokenness is not just around us or between us and those we love, but it tears apart our own hearts and souls as well. We know the hurt we have caused, the things we have done, and our failed attempts to mend and heal ourselves and our relationships with those we love. But sometimes we feel like every attempt is futile at best, if not actively making things worse. On this day, we try to step back from the daily realities in which we all live and see a bigger picture. See the picture of what God longs to do among us and try to grasp at the faith that tells us that one day that dream will come, even when we can least imagine it to be true. So often those who talk about the final work of God in our world, what will happen when Jesus comes back, talk about judgment and use it to strike fear within us that will make us believe what they say. I grew up with this way of thinking, and there's still part of me that is deeply afraid when people start talking about the end of days. But our passage from Ezekiel gives us a different picture of what God longs to do in our world. This passage tells us of God gathering the flock from many countries and bringing us all together. In this passage, which foreshadows Jesus' claim of being the good shepherd, God says, "I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak." Both the lost, those who have struggled to find their way, and the strayed, those who have wandered away, as well as those who hurt and ache and are injured. How many of us does this include? On that day, God will gather us up and heal what has been wounded, mend what has been broken in our world, among us, and in us. On this day, we celebrate that no matter what life looks like today, we know that one day God will complete the work of healing all that is broken within us. But we are not just left here to wait passively for that day to come. God is already involved in that work now, and we are constantly invited to join it. In our gospel passage, we are shown how far this invitation goes out. Too often this passage is used to strike fear in people about a final judgment, what will happen after they die. But the context of it gives us a clue to its meaning. This parable was told to the disciples and Pharisees, those who considered themselves the in crowd, who were so sure of their standing with God. In it, Jesus speaks to what will happen to everyone else. As the passage says, all the nations will be gathered. This is a term that Matthew and other writers use for the Gentiles. These are people who his listeners would have considered certainly outside of God's realm, those who they didn't think knew God. But Jesus said that even they too know God, and his message is one we need to hear today. Knowing God, and more specifically, knowing Jesus, is not something that's an intellectual knowledge. It's not knowing and believing the right thing that gets us into heaven. Rather, according to Jesus, those that know him are those that take part in what Ezekiel describes as the work of God, caring for those who hurt in our world. Those who know Jesus are those who welcomed the stranger, fed the hungry, clothed the naked, cared for the sick, and visited the incarcerated. Jesus said that when they did so, it was him they fed and welcomed and cared for. But they did it without knowing that it was Christ and those that was in those that they were serving. At the end of the passage, they are as surprised as anyone, asking, "When did we see you hungry and give you food? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you?" And he tells them that when they did it to anyone who needed it, they did it to him. They clearly had no idea about a, quote, deeper meaning of their actions. They did it because it was the right thing to do, because they saw dignity in human beings that other people passed off. This would have been a great surprise to all those listening to Jesus. Even among the Gentiles, those who they believed were outside the kingdom of God, God was present and ready to be known in those they least expected. And Christ is still in the same place to be encountered by us today. Our world is no less full of the hungry, the sick, the hurting, or the imprisoned than it was in the days that these scriptures were written. It is still the work of God in our world to bind up the injured, to bring back the lost and strayed, to gather us all together. Today we are given a chance to look forward to that day, to vision what it will look like, so that we can join in the work God is doing in us and among us to make that day happen. This means work for us as a community as well, to ask if we are creating and becoming the community that God longs for us to be. Are we binding up the injured? Are we caring for those who are hurting? This is the work of all of us as followers of Christ, not just a few. It is the work in which we all come to encounter Christ. And we cannot look at our world and our community without examining our own hearts, to explore where we ourselves desperately need the healing, the mending of all that is broken within us. We are able to do this that knowing that Christ is our King, because in him we know our identity, the deep truth of who we are, loved ones of God. It's in Christ that we know we are welcomed, that we belong to God and each other in this kingdom, and that cannot, will not ever be changed. We search for the deep for the places where we most desperately need the love of Christ to transform us. We look into the places where we push others away for shame of what they will see in us. We look into the places that have been hurt too many times, so we close them off to any other, because we are sure that our hearts cannot bear to be broken again. We look in our hearts to see who we simply can no longer stand, often those closest to us, to that place that is too old, too convoluted, too tangled to imagine a way forward. We look into all those places, and today we hold on to hope that in Christ, the work has already been done, and we know that He will heal every fiber of our being, and all will be reconciled to each other, because this Christ will complete what He started. There will be days that I struggle to see ahead, and I will need you to hold the vision, not for me, and be a faithful witness to that vision. And there will be days that you cannot see, and I hope that I can hold it out for you. There will be days that I think I can't take another step, and I will need to lean on you. And there will be days when hopefully I can stand strong so you can lean on me and take one more step. And we will continue step by step, joining others and inviting others to join, held together by the one who calls us together here today, Christ our King. Amen.